Well, you've joined Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. We're coming to you. Hey, give me five, keep me alive. Coming to you from Dallas, Texas, and specifically Herb's House Coffee Shop. So we're so thrilled you've joined us. We have a great devotion for you. It's found in Galatians 5, verse 23. Why don't you take your Bible? We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And we've come really to the eighth aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's the fruit of gentleness. And the title of this devotion is Unusual Gentleness. I want to begin by reading this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Wait for it. Here it is. Gentleness. Kent, this was so countercultural to the first century. The only thing the Roman Empire understood and valued was dominance, crushing their enemies, power, tyranny, Caesar, marching armies of the Roman Empire, dragging their enemies back to Rome in the victory parade. And now, Christianity comes along with this gentleness. I mean, no unbeliever, no pagan in the Roman Empire wanted to be marked by gentleness, but it just shows how the kingdom of God is so different from the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus was gentle. In fact, every one of these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is some measure of Christ-likeness. So what does this word gentleness mean? Well, the idea is meekness. The same root word, in fact, is used in Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I mean, how countercultural was that in the first century? The word means mildness. And it doesn't mean that you don't have a backbone, you don't have convictions. It doesn't mean that there's never righteous indignation. Or acting like men, or to be strong in the grace of God. But as we carry out our Christian life in our interpersonal dealings with people, there really needs to be not a harshness nor an abrasiveness, but a graciousness, a gentleness, even a softness. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, that we are to deal with others, treat others as we would have them treat us. I mean, Ken, you have treated me with gentleness and graciousness, other than hiding my notes before we started this devotion. Yeah, you departed from gentleness on that. But that's how I need to treat you and others, because that's how I want to be treated. And so this was just an unknown virtue in the first century that marked Christianity. And I think there's some cross-references here that I really want to get out on the table. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, Paul says that we are to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And he says, with all humility and gentleness. And that really like heads the list. A humble person will not be someone who's seeking revenge. Like, how dare you say that to me or do that to me? A humble person will be marked by gentleness. There will not be a quick reaction against somebody. In Colossians 3, verse 12, Paul says, put on a heart, and here they're tandemed together again, humility and gentleness. It's almost like gentleness flows out of humility as Paul sets the order here. And in 2 Timothy 2:25, Paul says that the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. I think sometimes we who have deep convictions can lose sight of the gentleness, like we're trying to win an argument rather than winning a person over to the truth. That can certainly be true of me. James 1, 21, in humility, receive the word. That's the only way to receive the word of God is, and it's the same Greek word, by the way, is with gentleness, with humility, for the Word of God to be implanted into our soul. And maybe one more, and then we'll talk about this, Kent. James 3:13, he says, "Who among you is wise? Well, let him show in the gentleness of wisdom." Wisdom is always to proceed with gentleness as our first response. So, this is a fruit of the Spirit, Kent. I need it. Again, I'm the poster child for someone who needs this. And there's no glory in flying off the handle at someone.
So, Steve, as we've looked at a couple of things, I think we've mentioned this.
Yeah.
But as we've started this study on the fruit of the Spirit, and you pointed this out, but just to bring it back up, the fruit is singular. It doesn't say fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
So what does that mean? that
we have a lot of fruits that we know, No, the fruit of the Spirit.
Just one fruit.
Yeah, it's just one fruit, and the verb is singular also.
Right,
the fruit of the Spirit is, not are.
Right.
And so what this says is all nine of these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit will be true in your life.
You can't leave one out.
You can't leave one out.
And so this one here,
to
me, as a man
who's
grown up in sports and competition and in business where you're always battling,
dog-eat-dog world,
and you're having to be strong and you're having to lead. This one is, can we take this one out? I mean, this one is difficult.
We can't edit the Bible.
So this one here really steps on my toes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think it's so opposite of our natural inclination. But it's very, very important.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it is, Kent, and this doesn't mean that we just roll over and play dead. We let people just walk all over us.
Right.
That we let people insult our wife. I mean, that doesn't mean that. It just means, as I interact with you, I need to not be abrasive, needlessly towards you, with a bunch of rough edges on me. I think it even includes things like even some measure of manners and social graces.
Listening
and not always talking and asking questions of other people. That there is this, and this word keeps coming back to my mind, a graciousness about me. And you and I know men who have been very successful in their life and whatever endeavor it is, but yet there is a quiet gentleness about them. They haven't been tyrannical. They have been marked by a gentle humility as they carry out their operations.
Do you think, Steve, that these other the fruit you've already spoken about earlier, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, leads? And it leads to gentleness
there is overlap, isn't there?
There's an overlap.
And it's kind of like one leading to another. And there's probably a reason why some of these are at the head of the list and others are at the end of the list. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, an aspect of love is gentleness, according to 1 Corinthians 13. And an aspect of love is patience, that we see in the middle of verse 22. Yeah. An aspect of love is kindness. And goodness. So there is a procession, and there is, it's like links in a chain that they're interlocked together. But I do think all true love has a gentleness about it, that there's an absence of an improper temper and flying off the handle. Rather, it is. It's gentle.
Yeah. How much, Steve, does a man or woman in the Lord really stand out if they're gentle?
You obviously stand out, Kent. And it's not just when you're at church. I think when you're out in the world and people, you're not getting what you want, and even a waiter might be slow to serve your meal. I mean, whatever is the setting, that you're marked by gentleness. You're not snapping at people and cutting their legs out from underneath them needlessly. but that you, there's a certain softness about the way you speak and the conduct yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, Kent, we need to stand out as men who bear this mark of gentleness.
Yeah, we do.
And not overreact.
Yes.
To people and situations, not outpunt our coverage, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, this has been an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that we all need. And as you're watching today, maybe this is something you need to pray for your life. God hears and answers prayer. Lord, give me this gentleness as I deal with people who are maybe even the opposite towards me. That we learn to turn the other cheek, that we learn to go the second mile, that we learn to return bitterness for gentleness. So, God bless you. Thank you for joining us. I need to be gentler with Kent. I know what many of you are thinking. #BeNiceToKent. Thank you for joining us.